The Ebes, as generals, sending orders to the troops. It had to be, coordinating the raid and directing it toward the injured member of the team. Indeed we are not. All right, folks. Murph, Tilly, Rudolph, get scarce. Follow Murphy and do whatever the hell she tells you to do if you want to get out of this alive. Murphy grimaced at that. Be careful, Dresden. You too, I said. See you at the church. She gave me a sharp nod, beckoned Tilly, and the two of them started off down another hallway to one of the side stairwells. With any luck, the Ebes had just sent everyone they had running toward me. Even if Murphy and Tilly weren't lucky, I figured they'd probably have only a single sentry to deal with at the most. I gave Murphy even odds of handling that. A 50% chance of survival wasn't real encouraging, but it was about 50% higher than if they'd stayed. Susan watched them go and then looked at me. You and Murphy never hooked up? You're asking this now? I demanded. Should I fix us both a nice cup of tea in our copious free time? I rolled my eyes and shook my head. No, we haven't. Why not? She asked. A lot of reasons, bad timing, other relationships, you know. I took a long, deep breath and said, Keep an eye out. I've got to pull off something hard here. Right, Susan said. She went back to watching the gloom, her club held ready. I closed my eyes and summoned up my will. Time for some real razzle-dazzle stuff. Illusions are a fascinating branch of magic. There are two basic ways to manage them. One, you can create an image and put it in someone else's head. There's no actual visible object there, but their brain tells them that it's there, big as life, a phantasm. It's walking real close to the borders of the laws of magic to go that way, but it could be very effective. The second method is the creation of an actual visible object or creature, a kind of hologram. Those things are much harder to produce because you have to pour a lot more energy into them, and while a phantasm uses a foe's own mind to create consistency within the illusion, you've got to do it the hard way with holomancy. Murph's image was easy to fix in mind, as was Rudolph's, though I admit that I might have made him look a bit skinnier and slouchier than he might actually have been. My holomancy, my rules. The hardest was Tilly. I kept getting the image of the actor from the X-Files confabulated with the actual Tilly, and the final result was kind of marginal, but I was in a rush. I pictured the images with as much clarity as I could and sent my will, including a tiny bit of soulfire, into creating the mirages. Soulfire isn't really a destructive force. It's sort of the opposite, actually. And while I used it in fights to enhance my offensive skills, it really shone when creating things. I whispered, Lumen Camerus Factum, and released energy into the mental images. The holograms of Murphy, Tilly, and Rudolph shimmered into existence, so absolutely real-looking that even I thought they might have been solid matter. They're coming, Susan said abruptly. She turned to me and practically jumped out of her shoes upon seeing the illusions. Then she waved a hand through Tilly's image, and it flickered straight through. She let out a low whistle and said, Time to go? The thunder of the Ick's heart grew abruptly louder, a vibration I could feel through the soles of my shoes. Vampires boiled out of the central stairwell, a sudden tide of flabby rubbery black bodies and all black eyes, of spotted pink tongues and gleaming fangs. At their center, in their flesh-masked forms, were Esteban and Esmeralda, and looming behind them was the Ick. Susan and I turned and sprinted. The three illusions did the same thing, complete with the sounds of running footfalls and heavy breathing. With a group howl, the vampires came after us. I sprinted as hard as I could, drawing up more of my will. I should have been feeling some of the strain by now, but I wasn't. Go, go, gadget, Faustian bargain. I gathered my will, shouted, Aparturum! And slashed at the air down the hallway with my right hand. I'd used a lot of energy to open the way, and it tore open wide, a diagonal rip in the fabric of space, crooked and off-center to the hallway. It hung there like some kind of oddly geometric cloud of mist, and I pointed at it, shouting wordlessly to Susan. She shouted something back, nodding, while behind us the vampires gained ground with every second. We both screamed in a frenzy of wild fear and rampant adrenaline and hit the way, moving at a dead run. We plunged through into empty air. I let out a shriek as I fell and figured I'd finally taken my last desperate gamble. But after less than a second, my flailing feet hit solid stone and I dropped into a roll. I came back up to my feet and kept running through what appeared to be a spacious cavern of some kind, and Susan ran beside me. We didn't run far. A wall loomed up out of the blackness, and we barely stopped in time to keep from braining ourselves against it. "Jesus," Susan said, panting. "Have you been working out?" I turned, blasting rod in hand and ready, to wait for the first of the pursuing vampires to appear. There were shrieks and wails and the sound of scrabbling claws, but none of them appeared from the shadows, which just couldn't have been good.